This is a poem about the man I was in love with for 20 years who wouldn't have me until he was on the verge of death from AIDS and offered himself to me. And I said, I'm sorry, Richard, I have to live into the next century. And here I am, and he's not. But anyway, it's called Poor Richard's Almanac of Sins. You will grow up as you grow older, he was told. But he was bold, and try as he might, lust was the one distraction he couldn't meditate away. So one day, after building up his muscles at the gym, he started to frequent the newly, quote, open, unquote, gay baths. A paradise of gratification, satiation seemed to offer itself with no troubling commitments and no expensive passage of time between the initiation of a desire and its fulfillment. You could even be as choosy as you wanted to be, too. What good are all those muscles now when infected with the blight that tortures all attracted to men as we are? Poor Richard, once I loved you more than I have ever loved another. We seemed like brothers in our India haunt. But I was unwilling and financially unable to gymnastically inflate my muscles. So we became friends only, although brothers lured by the same attractions. I followed you to the baths and bars, but never loved them. They proved good for occasional quick sex, but no more. I felt ugly because I was rejected by you. Still, you became a friend of my family. This would have been impossible without the Buddha Dhamma that brought us into awareness of one another's existence almost 20 years ago. Meanwhile, your new haunts gave you what you wanted, a roommate and a lover, two different men, more in keeping with your anatomical tastes. Now they've both been dead 6 years, and finally, you're finally taken ill with your first, quote, opportunistic, unquote, infection. I'm sorry to say this has worked to my health advantage in the long run. A tear tries to form in my left eye but refuses to fall. One of your lovers chased me down some stairs with a knife in his hands. Another encountered me once at the baths and offered himself, but I demurred. It felt like adultery to my naive, Dhamma-filled mind, even though I wasn't up to your standards for even one sexual attempt. That one was the first to die. So once again, this uglier duckling proved lucky, I suppose. But it doesn't feel right at all. And I still regret that the great love of my life for you didn't work. I cherished hope a decade in spite of rejection. Now the desire seems almost gone in me for men. Did I somehow catch that from you too? I mean both the desire for men and its near extinction? I don't know. My life has been that much more devoted to the love of words, and just as well so. Still, I will not desert you, my beloved friend, in your hours, days, or years of painful oncoming need.